hopefully this morning we'll be able to complete the prayers, and this evening we'll be able to complete the canto, I mean the chapter. This is chapter 16. King Chitraketu meets the Lord. So the verse that we covered last night was text 44. And in text 44, Chitraketu was describing something that's two ends of the spectrum. The Chandala, who even once calls upon the name of the Lord, and one who sees the form of the Lord. So he starts with saying, by seeing your form, all material contamination is vanquished completely. Then he goes to the other end of the spectrum and says, even one who is Chandala, and even once, sincerely, without offense, calls upon the holy name of the Lord, they can be relieved. What to spend back again to the other end of the spectrum? What to speak of? Seeing you with these eyes, meaning, or one of the implications is, not just by meditation, seeing you. And we know from Sri Brahma Samhita, seeing requires a special kind of ointment, prema ointment, premanjana. So he's seeing with the eyes of love. But he's seeing. And when that state of prema comes, it's one of the descriptions that we find of this stage of prema is where the bhavas, or the feelings of ecstasy, are simultaneously erupting and mixing. And various ways in which they mix, that's called rasa. Rasa is the compatible mixing of ecstasies. And so bhava stage, we'll go backwards. The bhava stage is described where, with great anticipation to meet the Lord, suddenly he appears, and one's senses just become, they burst open with complete saturation and satisfaction, and then he disappears. Oh, the devastation. So bhava is the stage where the sudden appearance of the Lord comes as a result of great anticipation. And the stage just before bhava is asakti. One is attached to that unseen object. And the stage before that is where there's attachment, excuse me, there's a taste for the activities that link one to that unseen object, the activities of bhakti. The more mature stage of ruchi is where there's a taste for the object of the activities of bhakti. Just the holy name. Regardless of the elements of the holy name in, say, in kirtan. How nicely mridanga player is playing, and the harmonium player is playing, and the instruments are in time. etc. The elements are not what enhances, it's just the name. Particularly the quality of devotion, of love in the heart of the person who is, the purity of the heart of the person who is calling the holy name with genuine feelings. Ruchi. And ruchi, as the result of nishtha, coming to the stage of steadiness with great faith, unflinching faith. So you can see there's a, it's a natural sequence. So using that frame of reference, that model, he's saying when prema comes, there's nothing left of material attraction. What to speak of the prema stage, even the chandala, just see the glories of the holy name. Just calling of the holy name of the Lord with great sincerity from the core of one's heart. Niharamiva Bhaskara. So now, the concluding prayers. Therefore, Ataha, my dear Lord, Ataha Bhagavan, simply seeing you has now wiped away all the contamination of sinful activities and their results of material attachment and lusty desires, which always filled my mind and the core of my heart. How did that come to pass? Whatever is predicted by the great sage Narada Muni cannot be otherwise. In other words, I have obtained your audience as a result of being trained by Narada Muni. Now Prabhupada adds that last sentence, it's his editorial license. But it explains the statement. So it footnote. In other words, so from Shraddha to prema. Because before he met Narada, he was what we would describe as a Prakrita Bhakta. Maybe advanced in the Prakrita Bhakta platform, but he was overwhelmingly materially attached. Because he was overwhelmingly materially attached, he'll explain, I could not see you. We were discussing last night about material attachments. Here's his confession before the Lord. But it's not a big confession because it was obvious. I was so materially attached. Even I was situated in devotion to you. I was just consumed by this attachment. But Narada made a prediction. Now, Narada made a prediction. One sense of looking at this is because Narada Uvacha, Bhagavan upheld what Narada said. Why did he do that? He likes to do that. The Lord, the devotee says, and so Krishna makes it happen. This nice pastime, this Damodar Leela, wonderful pastime. When finally Mother Yasoda put the rope around Krishna's waist, because Krishna permitted her to do that, because he wanted to be bound by her affection, Just after that, Shukadeva Goswami says, the mind of Krishna immediately went to the promise of Narada. And what was the promise of Narada? Nalakuvra and Manigriva would be delivered. Krishna was thinking, I have some service to do. He's the Supreme Lord, he doesn't have service to do. But Narada said, and he liked putting himself under the order, the fulfiller of the orders of his pure devotees. Narada said, so it has to happen, I have to deliver. He said, they would be born as trees in the courtyard of Nanda and Jasoda, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Swayam Bhagavan, will deliver you. So, I have some service to do. There's the trees. Here's the grinding mortar. Pitter patter, pitter patter, pitter patter, pitter patter. Get the grinding mortar stuck in between the two trees and poof! The word of Narada is fulfilled. Now I'm happy. He's always happy. And he doesn't need to fulfill anything. But he likes. Because he likes, it happens. Whatever Krishna likes, his ichha, is fulfilled by his potencies. It's the domino effect. Krishna desires. Krishna's potencies come to know Krishna's desire. Boom! There they go, taking care of Krishna's desire. He doesn't even have to say it. Oh, my dear Shaktis, can you please take care of the service for me? Yes, sir. He doesn't even have to say it. He just has to desire it. And all of those energies personified manifest in an appropriate manner in order to take care of the desire of Krishna. So, rightly, he's attributing his seeing the form of the Lord to the utterance of Narada. Krishna fulfilled that utterance. Now, why did Narada make such an utterance? One is, at least two things. He's very compassionate. How compassionate? In 7 days you will see the form of the Lord. That's very compassionate. But also Narada has a great ability to understand the real qualifications of an individual. Just like earlier in this canto. He tested, and it was verified, the qualifications of the Hariyashvas. And based on seeing their qualification, he had them completely bypass not only karmakanda activities, but the whole platform of fruitive activities, the whole platform of entanglement in family life. And all that goes with fruitive activities. Just put them on an elevator right to the top floor. All aboard. And they... But he knew that they were qualified. Narada has such qualification to discern the qualifications of others. Jnana, vijnana, astakya, brahma karma svabhavajam. It's certainly a requirement of a brahmana not only to have scriptural knowledge, like what's the verse in Bhagavad Gita, and someone can say the verse in Bhagavad Gita. That's jnana. That's distinct from avidya. We know what avidya is. So, vidya or jnana. But how to apply in different, very, very, very... This world is complex, so how to apply knowledge to different situations, that's a big jnana. Applied knowledge, Prabhupada calls it. There are similar terminologies in the educational system. There's theoretical physics and there's applied physics, for example. Scriptural knowledge and applying scriptural knowledge in one... So this is... Now I'm connecting with the topic last night of application. We, educated personalities, are far more trained in theoretical and far less trained in practical and certainly in spiritual life. I mean, not only in spiritual life, in, you know, just like day-to-day living, like how do you keep your clothes clean, how do you keep your body clean, how to... ABCs, you know. There's not... I hope you're not offended, but it's my observation that a lot of the highly achieving students, not only here in India, highly achieving students anywhere, this particularly here in India, as far as practical things, whew, hello, is anybody home? Ask them to solve a very complex mathematical equation or some kind of very technical subject matter. One, two, three. How to do something practical, A, B, C. Krishangi would be rolling on laughing. She deals with this all the time. She shared it with me. 100 times somebody explained how to do ABC, and they just don't get ABC because their minds are so in an abstract position, because there's lots of rewards for doing that, and somebody else will take care of the ABC. But training in Krishna consciousness includes practical application. Not only practical application in the physical affairs of life, but the internal affairs of life. That was what I was emphasizing yesterday evening. But as far as, you know, how you see your work, that's very practical. There's not just the book knowledge about bhakti and the contrasting position with fruitive activity. Then you can recite, there's this distinct from that. And then you go to your workplace and it just flies out the window. Or doesn't even get inside to fly out the window. It just doesn't come with you. So there has to be the applied science, vijnana, in Krishna consciousness. I'm re-emphasizing explicitly and deliberately because it's needed. 100 times, 200 times, 500 times, 1,000 times. Emphasis, application, application, application. Notice the qualification of Chitraketu. It doesn't say that Chitraketu explained things that Narada explained things to Chitraketu hundreds of times. He did give him the stotra. He explained the meaning of it and the method of it. And he left. Chitraketu was so highly qualified that he applied what he heard. And just see the result. 1 week later. Within a week, he's in Vidyadhara Loka. And by the end of that week, he's before Lord Anantadev. He gets he's the gold medalist in the application of instructions. And using the term that has been used here of late, his feelings of gratitude for Narada are right in forefront. They're not somewhere rattling around in a back corner somewhere. It's right in the forefront. He understands how he got to that position. We understand that he applied. So he gets enormous credit. But his humility is, he gives it all the credit to Narada. And that's the nature of a loving relationship. One gives credit to the other, and the other gives credit to the one. And it's a nice exchange of, like the previous verse, the Lord conquers the devotee conquers the Lord, and neither of them is trying to conquer the other one. That's a great program. The mature program is just the opposite. Everybody is trying to conquer everybody else. They're in their little God project, not only conquer each other, but conquer God. Take his position. Purusha prakriti stohi bhunkte prakriti jan guran. That's the program he was operating with before. He just deleted that program and took Narada's program. Overwrote the whole program and operated with the Narada Bhakti program. He applied it. And he attributes the success to Narada. But it wasn't just the specific message that Prabhupada is giving here is Narada trained him. He writes in the purport, one is unable to see the personality of Godhead unless one has the eyes, and one can get the eyes by training, not by surgery. By training. These eyes, by training. That is, specifically the training is, if we engage our senses in the service of the Lord, then there's a small little phrase that comes after that, according to the instructions of the authorities. Small phrase. Very important phrase. Why is it an important phrase? Because the Supreme Lord is involved in all of this. And he empowers his devotee to give him to others. He gives power of attorney. You can give me to whoever you like. I place myself in your hand. You can give me to whoever you like. Like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said about Vasudeva Datta. I declare it again and again. I am the property of Vasudeva Datta. Please believe me. He can take me to the marketplace and he can sell me for whatever price he likes. I am the property of Vasudeva Datta. I declare it again and again. It's several places in Chaitanya Charitamrita. And Vrindavan Das Thakur in Chaitanya Bhagavat also like this phrase very much. I am the property of Vasudeva Datta. Well, what does that mean? He can sell me. That means Vasudeva Datta doesn't ask for a price. He's like Lord Nityananda, please take, please take, please take. How much do you want? Nothing, just take, just take. That's his price. Take the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. Just chant the holy name, that's the price. Just chant the holy name. Therefore, Bhaktivinoda Thakura coined the phrase Namahatta, the marketplace of the holy name. Krishna places himself at the disposal of such devotees. What was the qualification of Vasudev Dutta wasn't his birth, wasn't his scholarship, wasn't his wealth. It was his compassion. You know the story, right? Vasudev Dutta. Each year the devotees from Navadvip would come to participate in Rath Yatra and stay for the whole Chaturmasya season. And at the end, they would return. Just like now, right? The end of Chaturmasya is just completed. So they would begin their journey back to their homeland. Not only Navadvip, they came from other places as well. So one day, as they would go back, they would come one by one by one, and Lord Chaitanya would receive them individually, and he would exchange some blessing, some lesson, some benediction, some instruction, and then their lives for the rest of the year were just filled with fulfilling that instruction, or relishing the loving exchange that they had with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that would hold their lives together so they could keep themselves going for another 6 months before they came back. Because the journey alone took another month to get back. And then to get there again was another month. So, Vasudev Dutta came before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and made, I have one request. My request is, you're the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you're most merciful and all-powerful. Can you please fulfill this one request? Please deliver all living entities, not only people, all living entities within this whole universe back to the spiritual world. Can you please fulfill that request? And if you think that they're too sinful, that their sinful reactions, which may mean that I'll rot in the hellish regions of this universe indefinitely. But please deliver them. I'm willing to accept that reaction. Just please deliver them. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced him and turned to the other devotees and said, just see quality of Vasudev Dutta. And then made this declaration. I declare it again and again, I am the property of Vasudev Dutta. He has purchased me. And he can sell me for whatever price he wants. This quality of Vaishnava's compassion, it's not, when it's genuine and pure, not coming out of some egoism, out of my largesse, I'm going to do something to help another person. That's contamination. But when one is thinking as an in a humble mood, as an instrument of the Lord, somehow, let me be instrumental to fulfill the desire of the Supreme Lord. That's purity. And when the devotee is carrying that purity and directs that purity towards others, that other, it becomes the recipient of the Lord's mercy. And the Lord delivers that person. So Chitraketu is understanding, I was delivered because of Nara's glance. Somehow he came into this dark place where I was and he pulled me out of that terrible pit of attachment. Material attachment. And just see, all that contamination is gone by seeing you. Oh, Anantadev, I simply desire the association of Narada. Now that I have your association, I simply want to be trained by him further, how to please you more and more. Just like Prahlad offered his prayers. Now he's going to go in a different direction with his prayers. So, and listen carefully because it has its practical application in our lives. O unlimited Supreme Personality of Godhead, whatever a living entity does in this material world is known to you because you are the Supersoul. In the presence of the Son, there is nothing to be revealed by the light of a glowworm. Similarly, because you know everything, in your presence, there is nothing for me to make known. So there's two parts to this. The first part is your position as the Supersoul. You know everything. You know whatever a living entity does. You know what I've done. You know what my attachments are. You know my heart. And there's no need of your finding out about it or making some disclosure to you or someone telling you, or your method of knowing is not like that. You know perfectly. And although you know perfectly, how deeply attached. I mean, Chitraketu had 10 million wives in order to get one son. And it didn't happen, which meant the Lord, it's not in the cards for you. It's not meant for you, Chitraketu. He couldn't see it. Why? Why can we not see the obvious? Because we're attached. Everybody else can know a certain thing, but about circumstances of an individual's life, and that individual is attached, they can't see. Persons can't advise them either because that attachment. And how much in this world are people attached? Oh. How much are we ourselves attached? Oh. Try to apply the process of purification of bhakti and find out how attached. Oh, shocking how attached. Don't apply, theoretically accept. And you can move along like, hey, this is great. I'm living a life of devotion and no pain. But as the saying goes, no pain, no gain. Don't apply and you won't get the full purification. You'll get purification. But looking closely at one's attachments, well, that hurts. It doesn't physically hurt. It just hurts our ego. Or hurts our unrealistic conception of ourselves. It hurts our pride. And people are very protective of such things. Their ego, their self-conceptions, and their pride. Very, very private. Very treasured, very protected, very well fortified. Isn't it true? I mean, rather than saying other people, our own selves. Very much so. So, because you know, you're the Super Soul, you already know. No disclosure is needed. No secret information. Hey, Super Soul, this person's attached. Super Soul knows. And even he knows, Chitraketu is saying, the implication is, still, you sent Narada to rescue me from that dark place of attachment. How indebted I am to you. How deeply indebted I am to you. I'm indebted to Narada, but Narada is an instrument of you. I'm deeply indebted to you. Next, the second part is, He gives the metaphor of a glowworm. In comparison to the sunlight, what is the light of a glowworm? I've never seen a glowworm. I've seen fireflies, but the same principle, isn't it? Phosphorus and collects the sunlight, and at night, at least for some time, it can give off a glow. Where do you see a firefly or a glowworm during the daytime when the sun is shining?
Ooh.
Bug. Little insect.
Yeah.
At night, ooh. Firefly or crawling on the ground. In darkness, the light of a glowworm is noticed. In sunlight, not noticeable. So, in one sense, the implication of that is the little bit of knowledge that somebody has in a place of darkness appears to be significant. But when personality of Godhead is present, it shrinks to its real position of insignificance. But he says something, that's how I've thought of that metaphor in the past, but he says something different here, or there's a different approach. It's because you know everything, in your presence, there is nothing for me to make known. Please catch this point. He's applying this example, not like pointing at other people, he's applying it to himself. What knowledge do I have? What is it that I need to discover or to disclose to others or for myself? What I really need is to approach you. So now this is a practical application of this point that we were discussing about understanding God is great and I'm very tiny, therefore I should serve Him. That is Krishna consciousness. So, how great is God? Well, He knows everything. And what about you, sir? Well, I'm working on it. Really working on it. One day I will know everything. Here's my post-dated check. One day I will know everything. Promissory note. One day I will know everything. Just see the advancements I've made in knowing so many things. One day, all knowledge. But the honest position is, we don't even know ourselves, what to speak of everything. This is what Sanatana Goswami said. People say, I'm such a learned person. And the proof of my foolishness is, I accept it. I think, yes, I'm very intelligent. Why, I know 7 languages. And I know diplomacy and finesse and, well, I'm very learned in the scriptures and I know so many things. But you want to know the truth? I don't even know who I am. So with a straw in my teeth, I come before you and ask you to please instruct me. ABC. Who am I? So, here's the application. The knowledge capacity of the personality of Godhead is like that of the sun compared to the knowledge capacity of the individual. That's me and you and each one of us, which is negligible, if not, we're also Satchitananda, but we're very, very tiny. And in that tininess, our knowledge capacity is very tiny. So now what do we do with that understanding? How do we apply that understanding? If we actually understand it, there really isn't any, the application here is there really isn't anything for us to discover. We just need to serve Krishna. And to one who becomes the servant of Krishna, they can then know Krishna. And the one who becomes the knower of Krishna becomes the knower of all things. But is it as simple as just serving Krishna? Back to the previous verse. Well, not exactly. Yes, but there's a little qualifier. The little qualifier is Acharyavan Purusho Veda. One must be guided, trained, instructed thoroughly in that methodology of how to serve the personality of Godhead. Why? That's the Lord's arrangement. That's His system. What's that system? The power of attorney. My dear devotee, my pure devotee, you have the power to distribute me. You know the implication, power of attorney. You sign over your right to represent yourself to an attorney. If he signs away your life savings, he can do it because he has the power of attorney. He can sign a document on your behalf and it's as good as your signing the document because you gave him that power of attorney. So Krishna gives to his pure devotee the power of attorney, specific power of attorney. What is that? You can distribute me to whoever you like. Go ahead. At your discretion. No conditions. You don't have to ask me even. My dear Lord, is it okay if I give you to that person? Don't have to ask me. Power of attorney. Blanket discretion. Now the devotee has guidelines because they're devotees and that they have guidelines like the Madhyama has guidelines. Serve the Lord, make friends with the devotees, preach to the innocent, and avoid the demons. So devotees follow those guidelines because he's a devotee. He wants to please Krishna. So he makes discriminations, like Narada made a discrimination. Chitraketu should be delivered. Why? He's qualified. What is that qualification? Not he's disqualified because he's attached, but he will apply this one. Therefore, here it is. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was even more merciful. Qualified, unqualified. Please take. Namo Mahavaranyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate. Krishna Prema Pradayate. Most munificent. So, but back to our application point. Chitraketu is saying, your knowing capacity is like the sun. My knowing capacity is like the glowworm. Therefore, I should serve you. And serve you where I don't have to discover anything. There's nothing for me to make known other than one thing. You. And how will I find out about you? Narada. Oh Narada, where are you? Oh Supreme Lord, grant me this one benediction. More of Narada's association. Next verse. My dear Lord, you are the creator, maintainer, and annihilator of this cosmic manifestation, but persons who are too materialistic and who always see separateness do not have the eyes to see you. Now he's going in that direction, the further end of the spectrum. Whoops, it's over on this side. There's the Chandala who chants, but then and further is the Chandala who won't chant, or the person who is covered and infested with material attachments and material desires. But they really want to stay there because they think that's happiness. And because of that condition of their life, that disqualifies them from seeing you. It's not because of that condition of life, it's because they're attached to that condition of life and they don't want to do anything about that attachment. Or they've not received the mercy of Narada yet, or Narada's representative. So what is their point of view? They conclude that the cosmic manifestation is independent of your opulence. Sound familiar? It's called modern university education. Here we are in a modern university making such a statement, but that's the fact. Therefore, there has to be an antidote. While studying this system, you should take an antidote so you don't become similarly attached and blinded. Study the system of how the universe works, that's fine. But understand who's behind it. Who's giving the scientists the ability to understand, to whatever degree they understand, the push and pull, the cause and effect of material nature, or some little tiny smidgen part of slice of creation. How does it work? And where's their capacity to understand that come from? What to speak of where the creation itself comes from? That was as well discussed earlier in these verses. Prabhupada calls this in the purport the atheistic temperament. It's not new. Since the beginning of time, it's been there. In fact, there are standard in six categories of atheistic teachings. And if one becomes knowledgeable in what these six atheistic teachings are, one will find any teaching today or at any point in history, they fall as subcategories of one of those six, or a mix of two or more of them. It's not new. It's old in a new package. And the label says new improved. You've noticed the marketing technique. So they'll get some customers. New improved. That's what moonies do. New improved. That's how a scholar makes his position. It's not just establishing an idea, but you also have to attack another scholar and pin him to the ground and chew him up and spit him out, excuse me, and then establish something else. At least pin him to the ground. It's part of the rules of the game. It can be done so it looks like it's nice, but that's the program. And it's not a new program. It's a rerun with different names and different time and circumstance. But the atheistic temperament is at the foundation of the whole program of speculative knowledge. So, one more verse and we finish the prayers, and so is our time. My dear Lord, last prayer of Chitraketu. It is after you. It is after you. Must be your. It is after you endeavor that Lord Brahma, Indra, and the other directors of the cosmic manifestation became occupied with their activities. It is after you. Oh, I get it. It is after you endeavor that Lord Brahma, Indra, and the other directors of the cosmic manifestation become occupied with their activities. It is after you perceive the cosmic, the material energy, my Lord, that the senses begin to perceive. The Supreme Personality of Godhead holds all the universes on his heads like seeds of mustard. It's not like he's doing a balancing act. It means as heavy as some object. This is a pretty heavy table. I don't know how many people it took to move it in here, but probably quite a few. What to speak of all the cement and ingredients for this building, steel and whatever else has gone into it, heavy. What to speak of the city of Delhi and the country of India and this planet, and the whole universe is carried on the hoods of Ananta Shesh like it's as insignificant as a mustard seed. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you, that Supreme Personality of Godhead who has thousands of hoods. So it's explicit, it's Lord Ananta. Lord Ananta is a Vishnu Tattva personality, not a Jiva Tattva, but he's in the position of serving the Lord. And Chitraketu likes that position too, so he likes worshipping Lord Ananta. And he specifically, so the concluding verse is, before we even begin something, we're beginning that something because you've begun that something. We can perceive something because you perceive that something. He gives the example, just like the hand cannot see the eyes, because the eyes are in the head, and the hand's over here. So the hand, the business of the hand is not to see the eyes. But similarly, you are the original seer. So our capacity to see is dependent upon you. You are the eyes. You are the perceiver. You are the performer. You are the doer. And because you perceive, you do. We perceive, we do. We're your shishya. We're your vritya. We're your servant. That is our position. And I'm happy to be in that position, and I'm very happy that Narada has taken me from the deluding conception of life to this spiritual conception of life. Therefore, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Now remember, he's saying these prayers in ecstasy. Who can even think? How can you conceive of? It's one thing to try to understand what he's saying. Try to put these things together, that he's seeing that Lord and he's with such eloquence reciting these prayers. What is that experience like? It's not just a sentiment. Bhakti is not just some sentiment, some blind sentiment. Bhakti is filled with knowledge, perfect knowledge. And in that condition of perfect knowledge, seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead as King Chitraketu is seeing, this is the topmost, this is the Mahabhagavata platform. And now, this evening, we're going to hear the Lord's response to these very, very wonderful prayers of Chitraketu. So, we have a few minutes before the bell rings. Any questions or comments?
Prayers that are written above, are they the original words of the speaker, or they are compiled by Śrīla Vyāsadeva in that
I don't know the answer to that question. My understanding is that it's a paraphrase. Vyasa is Trikalagya, so it's not like he needed a tape recorder and just transcribe the conversation. He could perfectly know the conversation without having been there, because he's Trikalagya. But that's not your question. Your question specifically, is it in this prose and meter and so forth? I've not heard anything from Prabhupada's purports or acharyas to indicate. My understanding has always been he's giving us the essence in that particular form. In poetic form, or sometimes in prose form. And that's his service. He's a literary personality, and he's empowered by the Supreme Lord to do that. That's been my understanding. I can't say anything definitive from our acharyas on that one.
The meter of these shlokas is slightly different from the usual meter.
Well, and from time to, even in sections where there's prayers, like it'll change. Its change has something to do with mood. It, you know, it's a very intricate science. Message, temperament, expressing them and hearing them indicate those kind of variables. And how much alankara, how much literary ornament is there, alliteration and metaphor and so many things. Just like, you know, sometimes you dress the deity with far more elaborate, sometimes more simple. Like sometimes in Vrindavan, Krishna Balaram and Radhe Shyam, at least Shyam, they're just bare-chested with little shorts. Decorative, but... And sometimes full dress and so many flowers, and you can barely see them. And it's a different mood. So the meter and the embellishments, they communicate something. That in itself communicates something. Anything? Yes. Thank you for asking that question. There's many reasons. The essence of those reasons is aversion to Krishna. It's the reason why we're in the material world. Raga, Dvesha, Samutena, Dvandva, Mohena, Bharata. That's the reason. Dvesha, we have aversion. And Raga, we have hankering. We have hankering for Krishna's position, and therefore we have aversion to Krishna. So we don't apply, even though our heart says yes, our conditioning says no. And because of that fundamental reason, there's many other downstream subsidiary subcategories of reason. Like, we're lazy. That's mode of ignorance. Passion, we're attached. We've been living our lives in this lifetime for so many years, in lifetimes for so many years. What we would have to honestly say, I've been wasting my time. And for persons to honestly say, I've been wasting my time. I understood that specifically in relation to those who, well, we've all had this experience, my friends and family. When I became the devotee, one of the hardest things that I understood for them to accept was they would have to say honestly, our lives have been heading in the wrong direction. You're right. Our lives have been heading in the wrong direction. They're not prepared to do that. And similarly, we're prepared to head in the right direction a little bit. But we're not often so prepared to say, even while I'm heading in the right direction, I'm still carrying baggage from the other direction. I'm attached to take my baggage with me to the spiritual realm. I'm attached to my, whatever it is, my sweatshirt. I'm attached to my favorite pair of pants. It's like the story of Ramanujacharya, where there was some question of some householder couple being attached, so he instructed that where the sannyasis were staying to move their clothes around and move their kopans around, and they got up in the morning and they're big, big fuss about who moved my dhoti, who moved my kopans. Rah, 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 rah. So even the renunciate's attached. Right. So, although they reduced the number of objects, the principle of attachment is hard to get rid of. So, what the solution is to do three things. Understand what the root cause is and target the root. Address it. Be honest and address it. Second thing is to loosen the soil around the root. And the soil around the root, by that I mean little things that are extensions of that root thing. Like, oh, I want to be honored by others. And particularly I want to be honored by this person or that set of persons. Or whatever it is, something. So you work on some little subset of that root cause. Knowing it's just a subset, it's not my life project. But it will, if I can be successful in some areas, if I can loosen the soil around the root, then it might be easier to pull the root out. That's where I was speaking last night about application. Persist. Know that you'll encounter interference, and the main interference is the mind. we don't really want to. Or, although we really want to, the not wanting to is stronger. So the mind is standing there with his arms folded before the door. Oh, no, you don't. You stay right here. Go further, go further, go further. And then complacency. I'm on the other side of the no restriction. No one's standing in the way, and there's not an immediate force. Just, I'm lazy. Complacent. Living is easy. I'm not being pinched. Nothing hurts. Keep going. Because you know what your mission is. So, recognize this is the road map, and when you get to that place on the road, you know what to do. Keep going. And then, so that's this third point is diligence or determination, not being checked by obstacles and not being checked by laziness. You know, overcoming passion and ignorance. And a fourth point is taking help. And consistently, particularly with this group of devotees, in addition to emphasizing taking help from your spiritual teacher, I'm also regularly emphasizing take help from each other. Build Vaishnava relationships. There's a lot of strength. It takes some of the pressure off of your teacher. And it accomplishes several things at once. Like, you know, a network of social interdependence. That helps. It helps now, it'll help later too. Part of the thing of pride, which is one of the big obstacles in application, is diminished by interdependence, by relationships with peers. And I can disclose to peers, I don't have to be private all the time about my impure heart. Some private struggle that I'm dealing with, I can disclose it honestly. I mean, not like go hanging your dirty laundry all over the place, but in a foolish nonsense way, but in very confidential way, discussing with another devotee or other very close devotees some struggles that you're dealing with and take their help. I mentioned that one last night also, application. Little support network system to keep us honest and keep us from succumbing to complacency and self-deception and self-delusion. Just see, I want to report to you I've just done X, Y, and Z. Then our friend can say, well, don't forget where you were 1 month ago. And how did you get there? Oh, yeah. I got some good instructions. I got some merciful association. We can, our tendency to once again become proud can be checked by good association. Someone who will remind us. Or if not by word, even just by their Krishna consciousness, by their presence, by allowing them close to us, opening our hearts to them. Very important. In the application department. So going back to the first one, there's a principle. There's a principle of self-honesty, integrity, or in the language of chapter 6, self-evaluation, honest self-evaluation. Honest self-evaluation is certainly assisted by honest peer evaluation and superior evaluation. I would say that's one of the diseases. The absence of that is, it breeds diseases in spiritual life, the lack of accountability to others. I'm a devotee. I'm following Prabhupada's teachings, or I'm following the teachings of our teacher. I'm not accountable to anybody. Whoa, look out. That's a disease. Okay? Now it's 7:45. I'm surprised some of you haven't gotten up and gone to your classes. Those that need to go, please feel free to go. Thank you. Maybe we'll end the whole thing right here, because I doubt there's going to be another question. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.